I would like to acknowledge the Kundamooka people, the traditional owners of the land on which this podcast was recorded, and to pay my respects to their elders past, present, and those emerging. I am fortunate to be able to spend much of my lifestyle outside on the land of the longest living storytellers in the world, and I'm grateful for their ongoing care and connection to the land and the waterways. I do my best to respect the land by treading carefully and acknowledging the beauty when I'm working and playing on country. Ida Yang is quite the remarkable young woman who was generous with her time and shared with me honestly her story about her diagnosis and what it is like to live with cancer. I will let you listen to understand my admiration of Ida and her mindset. Hi, Ida, and thanks for being a guest on the Women of Winter Manly podcast.
Of course, I'm so happy to be here. I'm so excited.
Oh, good, good. And Ida has spoken to a couple of other guests too.
I know, yeah. Exciting. I saw with Sally as well. I met Fiona just the first year we moved from Hong Kong to Brisbane. Yeah, so I met a few guests of yours, and so very excited to listen to your podcast.
Lovely, good to
hear. Walking, you know, so it was really, really good. And many guests spoke really great things about your podcast, and it's a great way to bring community together.
It is, yeah. It is. Thank you. So how did you get to the Bayside, and what do you love about it?
Yeah, so I guess, give you an answer short, well, probably just my husband. He's from Brisbane, mm-hmm. and his family lived all his life probably in Wynnum. And then, you know, we've been married for 10 years, and every year, I guess, towards Christmas time, I got an opportunity to come down here and just see this beautiful side of it. I guess that's the short answer.
And where's come from?
He's from, like, his family's from Wynnum, but yeah. I'm regionally from Beijing.
Okay.
Yeah, so originally from Beijing, but my time with Australia actually went all the way back to when I was early 20s, which is 10 years ago. Went to uni in Melbourne, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and then studied, I listened to the podcast of Fiona, and then I was like, that reminds me of my childhood, my early days. And I was like, yeah, so Australia is one of the list, obviously, the popular things, like countries that overseas students that just started it, you know, study abroad and wanted to, you know, experience the other culture and at the same time to guess to live abroad. And Australia is one of the affordable options back then. So my parents sent me there wanting me to study banking and finance. So I did that. And I also worked in Sydney for about a year after graduation. And then that work transferred me back to Hong Kong. And I thought, that's it. That's going to be the end of it. I'm not going to go back to Australia. Yeah, I'm going to go back to Australia. I'm a bit sad about it, but I wasn't thinking about too much until I met my husband. Here it is, Aussie guy.
In Hong Kong.
In Hong Kong. Yeah, so we met in Hong Kong. And he was also interviewing a job back then in Singapore. So we wasn't really thinking of this is going to work anytime soon. But, you know, now we've been married for 10 years. So I guess that worked out. And then that gave me an opportunity getting back to Australia. So it's kind of great. It worked out great. And it's such a different, I guess, feeling coming back as, you know, a mom with two kids, as comparison to as just a 20-year-old wanting to study and live
having
abroad.
A great time in Melbourne.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's so different now.
Yeah, how's the Bayside compared to, what do you love about the Bayside compared to Melbourne and Sydney, the two big cities?
I just found there was so much space and there was so much healing side of nature of it. And the point of being like, it's a reach out to you because you know, last year we moved back from Hong Kong thinking to take a break from COVID. And as COVID just hit really hard in Hong Kong, there's just lockdowns nonstop and no school. Everybody's doing homeschooling.
For extended periods of time.
Very long time. Yeah. And the hospitals, just the systems broke down. It's never expected to have that many of sick people all of a sudden. You just read all this negative news every day. And then one day you just call it, you know, I'm just not going to do this. And my husband just thought, you know what, let's just take 2 months off. You know, everybody can work from home now. We're just going to take 2 months off. And then we had just welcomed our son, which he was about 3 or 4 months old that time. I was breastfeeding him at that time too, and we're just thinking, let's just pack our bag and go for a holiday. Mm-hmm. And great idea. But a week later, we found out that I have stage 4 cancer, mm-hmm. breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously it was, to tell you that story is actually a lot of bits and pieces to lead up to mm-hmm. that dramatic sure. ending.
Yeah.
As we were in Hong Kong, I saw a bunch of people, and they were just kind of thinking that wasn't cancer given my age. I was 36.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was, you know, prior to diagnosis, I was in health and fitness industry. So I was very big on nutrition and lifestyle management. And I was the one that telling clients about what to exercise. That's how I started, right? So like common interest and
yeah.
all that.
Yeah.
All of a sudden and I started like breastfeeding. I found this lump and I couldn't get rid of, and I just couldn't stop. Help wondering about what it was, and then went to see 2 specialists, 1 lactation consultant, all told me it was nothing to worry about. They had ultrasound scan. They didn't encourage for a biopsy. They said, oh, just they're very pro breastfeeding in Asian culture. I don't know just like what is it like in Australia, but they're very pro. They're thinking, let's just give a time to see how it goes. And until 6 months, maybe when you finish breastfeeding with your son, let's do a proper checkup. So that's the response I got. Even though like towards the point, my daughter looking at me, because the lump kind of got infected, it becomes from no color to red to eventually it was like an infection. It becomes like an ulcer. It looks kind of scary looking at alien-looking things.
And you must have known something because you'd breastfed before.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a second child.
Yeah, and then it was lumps under my armpit as well, which I also had with my daughter. So I didn't give a second thought. I was like, maybe just like inflammation, my body's not getting back to where it was before. So I didn't, and it was, and then also me, I was just thinking I was in that love phase with my son. I was like, I wanted to give the best time and nutrition to my little guy. You know, I couldn't even go.
Yeah, especially with all that, if you got all that pressure from external forces as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And that oxytocin, which is that love you're just looking at. And also a lack of sleep. You're just not really making like rational choices.
And it's all about the baby, isn't it?
Exactly. It's all about it. And unfortunately, so that it becomes a bit out of control. So when we decided to pack up our bag to go to Australia, my husband booked a specialist appointment, luckily, just a week later. And so once we arrived, we were like really happy and, you know, space. No one's wearing masks. This is a great life.
Anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. It was just a sense of freedom. Immediately, I just felt, look at this beautiful place that I lived in. I was immediately thinking, oh, wow, that's such a relief, you know, like, and this... This is all here, then, you know, and in Hong Kong, it's very rare to see space and the greens and things
just
like
buildings
that.
And, yeah.
It's buildings, concrete buildings, it's the, you know, the noises and the people, the cars, it's crazy. Anyway, so a week later, I went to see the specialist, and then she immediately told me to get a biopsy. She was still trying to debate. You know, she didn't drop the C word yet, but she was kind of saying that potentially it could be something else. So I wasn't really prepared for anything in my head. Back then, I was just still thinking bad infection, something really bad.
Yeah.
Until I guess it was 3 days. I think Friday I went to see her. It was just over the weekend, but Monday around 4 o'clock. I would never forget that day. And then when she called me, I put it on speaker, of course, because I was thinking, oh, must be a good news.
Yeah,
nothing to be worried about. I didn't worry about somebody.
We'll clear this up.
Exactly. I was like, tell them. Because my family was obviously concerned. My in-laws, they're all lived here all their life. I would put on speaker, and then as soon as she said, we were all shocked, and nobody spoke a word for a minute or so. And then she has to come. She was just doing the routine, kind of telling me what type of cancer is it, which I had no idea there was different type of breast cancer. And she was telling me what stage and what do I need to do the next, which my brain just could not register a single word she said. And
what, pass the word cancer?
I just heard cancer.
Yeah.
And then I was just, I stopped listening.
Yeah.
Until after a while she said, are you still there? And I have to breathe in and say yes. And I have to really try to put my brave face on and to carry on that conversation. And as soon as that conversation was over, obviously I was like, crashed to the ground. I just couldn't. And then the family member obviously were giving me hugs and they were all, you know, having their moment. It was just purely sad. It was just really sad and shocked.
Such a shock.
Yeah. So I think with every single woman who had their journey or like starting finding out, they're going through waves of emotions. Mm. Like we call it different phase of emotions. And so it was going through firstly shock and then just confusion and just like, how come? Why me? So this why me is very, everybody couldn't help it. And they started thinking, oh my God, what this cancer means like to me, like what are the prognosis, like how long I will live that time, what are the chances, what are the treatments? So it's just overwhelmed with all sorts of information online.
And you have probably had to act really quickly too.
So a week later, I have to have my surgery, which is, but because of the infection is really bad, they were considering to do surgery first instead of chemotherapy. And when they found out, it was already stage four. And because of the type of cancer I have, it's, I think, only 15% of it, population that have this type of cancer. So triple negative breast cancer is the most aggressive type of cancer, and they usually happen with to young women.
Oh, okay.
So it's known to have the worst prognosis. So if you Google it, it's not going to help you.
Not good. Not good. And, it will lead you to bad places if you Google it.
Exactly.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. But I can't help it. It's like anybody else. You want to know what's going to happen. You know, everyone wants to control somehow. But cancer is just the perfect person to get you out of that comfort zone. Nothing you can control.
You've got no control.
Nothing you can control.
Yeah.
So basically a week later I'll have to go through surgery, and then I've done about 6 months of chemo after that, and it was 30 times of radiation on my chest, and there was also lymph nodes removed from my armpit, because it's already spread to my lymph nodes. Yes. That's where the lumps are from, and after that there was also a spot on the spine. They later on, after treatment of chemo, it just kind of disappeared. So that means it's stage four. That means it's spread to a distant location of the original tumor site. And then after 30 times, I've done 3 times radiation on my spine. And around, I think it was October last year, I finished all the treatment, celebrated my son's birthday. He turned one.
Aww.
I was like so happy. This finally finished my chapter. You know, like I'm like finally free. Them, I can do whatever I wish to do. And 2 months later, that we found out there is some coordination issue with my right side. So I maintain exercise all the time. I was like doing exercise. I suddenly felt like I can't put my right foot in the shoe. I have to think about it. And there was some delay of response from my right.
It wasn't just automatic.
Yeah. So there were some symptoms. So when during the routine check with the radiation oncologist, she was just checking my skin on the chest wall. And then I mentioned that to her. And then she looked very concerned. She got me to a scan straight away. So they found out it was actually a brain tumor. So that was from the just within 2 months when I had a clear scan, it spread to the brain.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so that just again threw me back to the ground, and it was another shock.
Well, you wouldn't have expected that.
I definitely didn't expect that at all. I definitely didn't. And it was such a shock, like I couldn't even describe, like, because I would never thought that. I firmly believe that, you know, I could fight this through. I could do this. I'm young. That I'm determined. I'm very curious. Like I even pre-diagnosed that. I'll look at all these health books and how do people, one's body could heal naturally. And I always believe there's more besides medications, chemos, and drugs. And people are supposed, they're, you know, the healing should be within us, is how a wound healed. And
our bodies are designed.
Exactly. I totally believe in that. So I never really thought this thing could just like, it was so much
stronger. Keep giving it to you.
Yeah, keep giving it to me. It just never stopped. So anyways, after that, I've done radiation on my brain, and it cost a bit of, after radiation, It was a medical word for it. I think necrosis, something like that, radiation necrosis. So it's just from the post-radiation treatment, the fact the brain got really swollen, the healthy tissue get very swelled up. And so that way, because we're in a fixed skull, it created a lot of pressure. And that way, it actually triggered me 3 times seizure. So I was literally like, I felt like I could, I'm a person that I could definitely control my body movement, which I feel really grateful for. All the time that I couldn't control And then my last seizure lasted for about 20 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And I really thought that's going to be it for my life. And then my husband actually filmed it when I had my seizure on the ground because she wanted to show it to the emergency team.
Mm.
And when I looked back that video, I just looked, it was in my eyes, it was just a sense of helpless, in the eye.
Mm.
And I look at that, I was thinking, I can't do that. I can't have that. I have to get back on my feet. I have to do this again.
Mm.
So that's why there we go. So because of that, I have to go through chemo for the second time. So I started March again.
Mm.
And now I've done about 4 rounds. So people talk about, if you're stage 4, that treatment might be a long ongoing option for you. But again, in my head, I was still thinking, this is not going to be it.
It's a short-term thing.
I have to find another way. There has to be more. There has to be other things.
Mm.
Yeah, so I think...
have you managed that with 2 children?
I have a tribe of support. Yeah, my mom came from China. So all my family's still in China. So I'm the only child.
Mm-hmm.
My mom came down, probably spent almost the whole year. She's still here now.
Oh, wow.
She's trying to help out.
Mm-hmm.
My in-law, they live down here, which is 5 minutes, basically 5 minutes drive from where we live. And they've been offering a lot of help, just nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to mention the community of women and mainly just there's a little local gym that I go to regularly, and during treatment I was still going, and there was just people, strangers in the gym, and they offered hugs, they were saying kind words to me, and during the time that I was having insecurities with how I look, losing hair, people gonna judge me and all that, going from very high maintenance person to like low maintenance, just nothing at all. And they were still telling me, how beautiful I look.
Aww.
They were still saying
that. They were strangers.
And then obviously now we become friends. We see each other often. Mm. But that little support, that little words that you get from the community, it really helped me. And then I don't get that. I don't think I ever experienced that in Hong Kong, in a big, really busy city, from strangers, from people just even giving you a friendly look on the street and to smile at you, to tell you to have a good day. That's you can't get that. You just can't get that. And
what that means to someone, you never know who's at the
exactly
end. Who's on the other side of that smile, do you? And what that means to that person.
I'm so trained to be like when I was in Asia a lot of time, people offer kindness to me. I always think, what do you want? What's your intention behind it? So it honestly took me and my husband grew up here. It took him a while to get used to it, to make small talks and to have that really like painless conversation, people just generally wanted to have a friendly conversation with you. And that's just incredible, because especially after COVID, people are not hardwired to be isolated, and people are still getting used to it. And now, like, Australia's back to normal. People in China are still learning how to be reconnecting with that again. So I think it's amazing how this community just have offered so much, to help me heal at the same time, besides the nature, at the same time, the kindness, the connection, the belongingness. It was
incredible.
It was incredible. So thank you for doing this. And let me say thanks to the community.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And so, and I also think, I was just thinking too, because I know that you've started a support group as well, but just before I ask you about that, I just wanted to ask you about, you continue to go to the gym. Some of that about still feeling, I've got a friend, a close friend who number of years ago now, had a loss, and she went back to the gym because she said, I need to feel like I've got strength again.
Yeah.
Like I just need, was that some of that for you? Was to continue that, to know that your body, what it was capable
of? You can control. And at the same time, I think there's been a number of research recently. So I guess, I don't know, like back maybe 20, 30 years ago, the doctors were even not encouraging so much exercising during treatment. And then especially when I shared my, training journey, exercising routines on social media, a lot of like Chinese, on Chinese social media, a lot of Chinese, they were asking me, how could you lift weights during treatment? So there was not known back then. So they were a bit delayed. Mm. And now there's tons of research came out that especially when you've done surgery on your breast, that you're supposed to still carry on weights to prevent lymphedema, the swellingness on this, and then especially treatment with chemo and radiation all has great impact on our bone density.
Mm.
And especially I have treatments on the spine and it has tons of that impact. And then sometimes strength training is the way to go to strengthen your bones. It's something that you can control and do about it instead of thinking, I have everything, I have to rely on medication or the doctor told me this and I don't know that. Now I've learned you can challenge authority. You don't have to do whatever they tell you to do. Because I got brought up a certain way in China that I have to listen to authority.
Very compliant.
I have to listen to the teacher, to the doctors, and with white coat. But now I challenge them, I ask them, because you're not the one that got cancer. I am the one that got cancer. I got to speak for myself.
I'm living with this thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So your support group in amongst, all of the treatments and everything else that you're doing and raising two small humans.
Yeah.
What prompted you to start your own support group?
Yeah, so I basically joined a support group last year. It was a government-funded program and organized by YWCA. So they help women with breast cancer, impact with breast cancer. They have like indoor program, which they help you strengthen their body, or stretch. They will also have like a pool exercise, which are low resistance, which help you to move and kind of fight fatigue at the same time. So I did that with a group of women. And because of the funding, they kind of stopped this program going. I think it's still going on in other states and probably in New South Wales. They're still going. But anyway, in Queensland, they stopped the funding. And given my background, I was just thinking, and there was a few ladies also talking, that you could be starting something like that to keep this going. So there's always in the back of my mind. And with the episode of, the second time with the brain and the spread, and then I stopped for a little bit, and I was just hesitating, should I do it? And should I wait until I recovered and all that kind of thing? And I finally, just flip that switch in my head and thinking, it's cancer is part of my life. And I'm just going to live it. I'm going to, like any people, like with a health condition, you can't let that stop you from doing what you want to do and enjoy doing. You're just going to keep doing it and enjoy what you and what I enjoy most is to connect and help people. And I do that in the past. So why can't I do it now? So I started that support group in April this year, and I wanted to do it. I think with the previous program that I joined, it was very much focused on physical health. So they focus on how you build your strength back, how do you fight fatigue. They will have guest speakers coming in as well to share recent information as well, how do you navigate your journey, and that kind of was all really helpful. But with my program, I wanted to utilize the beautiful nature is only its natural way of healing. I wanted to add in the mental element in this. So towards the end of my program, so besides the strengthening and an exercise element of it, I will add in about 15 or 20 minutes meditation in the end. And it was actually, couldn't be more perfect. Actually, Sally will probably introduce me to that space. It was facing the ocean. It's just near the Bayside Sea Scout, lighthouse.
Oh, that park there.
It was under a big tree and naturally in the shade, and you can hear the bird chirping. You can hear the sound of the breeze coming through, and you're looking at the ocean, and you just don't immediately, like, cleanses you inside and out, mm-hmm. and you just don't feel like you want to be anywhere else, and it has such a healing, and it's free, you know, it's all coming down, mm-hmm. the sun, you know, get onto your body, mm-hmm. you absorb the vitamin D, it's all great for our bones, mm-hmm. as we know, and so everything is just out there, it just depends on whether you're finding or not. So it's that's the elements I wanted to add to. Yeah.
So you facilitate the session?
I'll facilitate a session. Yeah, yeah. And I'll have a topic each class or session because I wanted to open up people's eyes to also, you know, looking into other ways of healing. So not just thinking about the next drug or the next medication. Next and then there was tons of women also going through the anxiety of recurrence, whether cancer will return at a later stage. What do I do now after I finish all the treatment? So I think that will, by focusing on the topic or on the mental element of your health, that also brings your sense of purpose and what they're going to do after this. So for example, some of the topic I touched before would we'll focus on the biology of belief, how your belief systems could help you, you know, going forward, like how positive belief systems and weeding out the old belief system help you to actually live your life to the fullest, or how do you use manifestation or visualization kind of tools to bring like abundance to your life, or how gratitude, how you know you got taken away of something, but what do you have right now to focus on? What do you have at the moment instead of what I'm lacking?
Yeah, what's missing?
Just to say I love you to yourself. Yeah. And I think a lot of people, you know, they took me a while. I'm still working on it to stare at myself in the mirror and to looking at my body in a new different light, to still love my body, to still say I love you. Yeah. And I'm going through this. You know, almost like a grieving for my body.
But giving yourself permission to do
to give yourself permission to that, exactly. Yep. And then to acknowledge what your body going through. It's such a simple thing, but people neglect or forget to do. And especially with, you know, meeting a lot of moms in this community, having a sense of guilt and not being able to enjoy themselves, right? Like what Kirsty created, that social moms group, right? And I think a lot of people going through that, you don't have to take a diagnosis to tell you. So cancer, I think for me, is more like the biggest wake-up call for me to reprioritize and to look at what's most important. And I think, I guess my message from this group is to, first of all, as women, to really look after yourself and don't think that, you know, I could just do it later on, or, you know, until I really hit to that burnout point, I would do it. You got to take care of yourself.
Do it now.
Every day, do it now. Look after yourself. And yes, kids are important, but you're also so worthy of that healing and that self-care and self-love.
So how did you get so wise? How did you get so wise?
I read a lot of books. And I'm in practice of that every single day. I'm in practice like every single day. I still go through waves and emotions.
Yeah, I was going to ask, is that, I'm sure you still have really ordinary days.
Yeah.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah. I have my dark moments too. Yeah. But but today is a good day. Because I met you. And I get to talk about what I'm passionate about.
I was thinking about it in terms of your wisdom. I mean, obviously your own experiences has taught you, you know, an insurmountable amount that you never expected to learn. But is it really around a lot of reading as well? So to be able to go and give that gift to other people and to bring them on a journey that changes potentially their mindsets in what they're going to be experiencing now or into the future.
Yeah.
What has taught you that?
I think for me, you know, this journey honestly really helped me to learn a lot about myself as well. And as well, I have opportunity through meditation to really think, what's my purpose? Why am I here? And then who I am? And I think I always have the curiosity of learning. So I always want to, in whatever I do back in the days when I have tons of female clients are going through different phases in their life when they're early 20s, go through eating disorder. When they're in their 30s, they're going through PCOS, fertility mm-hmm. issues. And then I have miscarriages, and I experienced that too. And after that, they're dealing with premenopause, menopause. And women, we're going through so much. Mm-hmm. And I felt like there's not because a lot of time is because they don't have the knowledge and to know what's the right thing to do. And then nowadays, we're so easy to be flooded with mm-hmm. tons of information. Mm-hmm. And Google. Can you blame them? Like, that's why you get lost. Mm. It's like you're so lost, and then you eventually you just think, you know, I'll just let the body do itself and figure it out.
Yeah.
So my curiosity and my passion on health, I just wanted to know more, and then and I trust, like I said, you know, your body has its own ability to heal itself. Mm. I'm just interested in the human body, how this ability to heal. So prior to diagnosis, I wanted to help people with that, whatever issue they have. So I do a lot of learning. Mm. I think the learning is just the action that I took, but it was the curiosity
that got you there.
Yeah, because I always believed in more. I just think there's always things that to help people. Mm. And then it was that hope, honestly, probably keeping me here. Still alive, I guess. Mm, yeah. Mm. And
it's not dismissing medicine. It's just complementary.
Definitely, yes.
There's things you can do.
Exactly. Thanks for pointing that out. I'm not saying medicine is not right. That does have its place, but
it's not everything.
It's not everything. It's a lot of to be able to hear and immerse yourself in nature, to be able to connect with people. To be able to make conscious choice of eating and to be able to shut your eyes, not looking at your phones before you go to bed, to be able to have that quality relationship and meaningful conversations. That's all play a huge part in longevity and live a longer life.
For everyone.
Exactly. Not for someone just have cancer.
And what a beautiful gift to give. Is it an hour long?
It's about 90 minutes.
Yeah, but long. To give that time to just stop. Like for 90 minutes for everyone in that group to just stop all of that Googling and busyness and everything else that they might be doing to just get themselves out of that headspace for that 90 minutes must be an incredible part of their work.
Well, if you don't mind, you feel free to come as well. But anybody who's, I guess, known for their friends or family affected by breast cancer, welcome to join.
Oh, it's been wonderful to speak to you. Thank you so much for your time. I'm sure your days are pretty full on normally with lots of other things and small humans that require lots of time and energy.
Patience.
I'm sure the meditation helps with that as well.
Morning you have to get my meditation.
It leads you to be a better parent, doesn't it?
And then thank you for again giving me the opportunity to talk about my story.
Thank you. It's been lovely to chat with you and meet you. Thanks, Ida.
Thank you.